longer and take your Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and I congratulate all the men that managed to get their kids here early for church. I'm expecting to see a whole lot more in the 11:15. Praise God. I had my boys, believe it or not, I had them here at 7 o'clock this morning. They felt like they were in an army camp last night. I must say, I didn't cook dinner. I let Rashay's do that for me. John chapter 11, verse 20 and 22. Praise God. Love the Word of God. And we're going to look at quite a lengthy passage today. So if you could take that portion of Scripture and just make sure you keep your finger there. John 11 deals with the raising of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend to Jesus. Lazarus was a brother to Mary and Martha. And we read here, and we're going to go into the whole context today, but a messenger comes to Jesus, and Jesus is ministering, and he says, Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come immediately because Lazarus is sick, and Lazarus lived nearby in a place called Bethany. And so when they arrive at Bethany, Lazarus has been dead and buried for 4 days. Let's read John 11, verse 20 to 22. Now Martha, everybody say Martha. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Let's read those words in verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she goes on, and I love these words, and I want to focus on these words today. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She says, Jesus, if you had just been here, he's already dead, Lazarus is gone, he's been buried. She says, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know. Everyone say, even now I know. Even now, in spite of my brother's passing, in spite of you not being here when it all happened, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And I want to minister today on this title, Experiencing Jesus. Experiencing Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, Experiencing Jesus. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for your word. And as we take this time today to look into the bread of life, your word, Lord God, your word is sustenance to us, Lord God. It is strength to us, Lord God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, faith would come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Faith in the crisis. When we experience Jesus in the crisis. Now, we all face situations, brothers and sisters, church today, those that are joining us online, we all face situations that look like they're never going to work out. Everything looks like a mess. It just looks like it's not going to work out. And I've been around long enough to know that I don't have the answers for everything. And you've been around long enough to know that even as people of faith, we don't have the answers for everything. Sometimes we may feel like we have to have the answer. But I tell you today, sometimes I just don't have the answer. Why? But there's one thing I've learned. I've learned from a young child about the importance of putting God in your heart. Yes. But I want to tell you, I've also learned that it is just as important and just as necessary to put God in your hurt. It's one thing to put Jesus in your heart, but we've got to go beyond that. And as I've grown older, I've learned that it's not just important to have Jesus in your heart. You've got to have Jesus in the midst of your hurt. And so I've lived long enough to know that there are so many questions that are difficult to answer. And I may never have the answer this side of heaven. We just have to trust God, that God's ways are higher than our ways. During the week, I was thinking about the book of Habakkuk, and it's an interesting book. the book of Habakkuk, and I encourage you to read and even study the book of Habakkuk. But the theme of Habakkuk, that book, is about having faith in God despite the suffering, having faith in God despite the pain, having faith in God despite the questions. That's what Habakkuk is all about. And Habakkuk had pain, he had questions, he had suffering, but Habakkuk was a prophet. Everyone say a prophet. He was a prophet who was incredibly in love with God. He was rich in faith. But like so many people, Habakkuk, just like you and I, had a faith crisis. And for Habakkuk, the things that he saw with his eyes didn't line up with the things that he believed in his heart. He had a faith crisis. I want to remind somebody today that God is for you. Everyone say, God is for me. I want to remind you today, God is for you. And we've got to know that above everything else, Brother Jason, Brother David, Brother Dennis. We've got to know that God is for us. We've got to know that above everything else that we know, to know that God is for us. And we can say that when there's good times. We have no problem saying, oh, you know what? I got a promotion at work and I'm getting a few extra dollars in my bank account. Surely God is for me. You know, when things go well at home and things are going well with the finances and everything's, and we're having a beautiful day, we say God is for us. But I tell you today, God is even for you, even when you're going through a crisis. I've come to tell somebody today, despite what you feel, despite the suffering, despite the questions, God is always for you. Everyone say, He's for me. Amen. And you know, we can be tempted at times to wonder about that. We say, well, oh, this is a tough time. I just wonder if God's mind is tuned to my heart. Does God know how I'm feeling? Is God aware of the need that is in my life? Is His eye focused on me now? I know that His eye is on the sparrow, but is God's eye focused on me now? Can God see me right now in my present situation? The Word of God answers this question in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and you can turn there. Romans 8, verse 31, we have a question and we have an answer. And the question is, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say when we face difficult times? What shall we say when we have questions? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the answer to the question. God is for you. I want to tell you that He is for you when you go through the hard times. Everyone say the hard times. Isaiah the prophet told us in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame will not scorch you. Why? Because I am God and I am with you. He's with us in the hard times. He's with us when others have forgotten us. And I don't want to ask for a show of hands today, but there's many times that we feel like God has forgotten us. There'll be times when we feel like even that God has forsaken us. But the Bible says this in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely people may forget, yet I will not forget you, God says. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. God is with us even when we feel forsaken, even when we feel forgotten by everybody else. God is for us. Somebody say amen. The psalmist gets to the end of his life. And I like to picture this in my mind. The psalmist David gets to the end of his life and he sits back in his recliner. He puts his feet up on the chair there and he says, I have been young and now I am old. But I have not seen the righteous forsaken, and I have not seen his descendants begging bread. I want to tell you, God is for us. He is for us when physical or material needs are pressing on in on us, when things don't seem to be adding up in the bank account. I want to tell you, God is for us. When we're sick, I want to tell you, God is for us. He says in Exodus 15, verse 26, I am the Lord who healeth you. Jeremiah says, for I will restore health to you and I will heal your wounds. I want to tell you today that God is for us. Everyone say, God is for me. Say it again, God is for me. There's not a moment when you are out of God's mind. There is not a moment when you are out of his gaze. There is not a moment when you are beyond his touch. And there is not a moment when he is ever anything less than completely for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Everybody say amen. And so I ask you today, where is your faith? You see, sometimes we find ourselves in trials and it may not even be. We can face trials for many reasons. Sometimes we face trials because of our own making, because of the decisions and the choices we made. We face trials. Sometimes we face trials because trials are just part of the life. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. We will face trials of our own making. We will face trials that are not of our own making. And it's not our lack of faith that God gets us into these trials. It may be, but it may not be your lack of faith that got you into a trial. But I want to tell you, it is the strength of your faith that will get you through your trial. It may not be the lack of faith that got you into the trial, but it will be your faith that will get you through the trial. For the Bible says, get your eyes onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm focusing my attention on Jesus. Even through the trial, I'm coming through because God is for me. And so what a trial, what a crisis that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had. They had a crisis on their hands. And you think, well, what caused this crisis for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? What was it, their faith? Well, what was it? What was it that brought them out of their crisis? Let me tell you what brought them out of their crisis. It was their faith. You cannot experience Jesus without faith. You cannot experience Jesus without faith. You see, some believe that Martha and Lazarus and Mary were related to Jesus. Now, we can't know that for sure, but we do know that there was a deep friendship. There was a deep love for each other between Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus. And they knew. Mary and Martha and Lazarus knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loved them. They knew it. And so when it occurred to them that their brother was about to pass away, their mind turned to one answer. When they faced that crisis and that trial and it occurred to them that their brother was about to pass away, their mind turned to one answer. We need to get Jesus to come. We need him to come. And so she sends a message, go and get Jesus. Wherever he is, find Jesus. We need him to come. Now, we can learn a lot about this message that she sends to Jesus, because she sends a message to Jesus. And it's not just in what the messenger said, but we can learn a lot by what the messenger didn't say. We go to John 11, verse 1 to 3. I told you to stay in John 11. And so we're going to work our way through that. John 11, verse 1 to 3. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, that is Jesus, and they said, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. That was the message. Go and tell him the one that you love is sick. Notice that the messenger didn't have to say his name. She knew that Jesus would come. Regardless of what was happening, she knew. She said, he will come and he will heal my brother. She didn't have to say his name. She said, Jesus, the one whom you love is sick. And so we're on the edge of our seat. We're thinking, well, how did Jesus respond? Well, he turned to the disciples. We'll read it in a second. He said, you know, this situation is bad. It's not looking good. But he didn't go. Everyone say he didn't go. We get to verse 4. And when Jesus heard that, he said, oh, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So he noted that it was sick. He was sick. He noted that, you know, he could die, but it's not unto death. He's not going to die. But God's going to get the glory out of this, that the Son of Man may be glorified through this situation, through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So what happened? He dropped everything and headed their way? No. Everyone say, no, he didn't. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, or when he heard that he was sick, verse 6 says, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. The disciples said unto him, Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you. They're tried to kill you lately, Jesus. Are you sure you want to go there again? Are you sure you want to go to Judea again? And Jesus answered and he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that, he said to them openly, he said to them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to go and wake him up. I'm going to go and I'm going to wake him up. He's asleep. I'm going to go and I'm going to wake my friend Lazarus up. Remembering, he's already delayed it 2 days. Then the disciples said, Lord, you're telling us that he's sleeping? He's sleeping, you know. Lord, if he sleeps, then he'll get well. There's no use risking your life going to Judea again. You don't have to go there. If he's asleep, he'll wake up. Everything will be fine. However, Jesus wasn't talking about the natural sleep. Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. They said, well, Jesus, you know, last time you went to Judea, they tried to kill you. It's not worth risking your life. If he's just asleep, why risk your life? And then Jesus said to them plainly, everyone say plainly, everyone say bluntly, because I think that's probably more like it. He spoke to them bluntly. Lazarus is dead. And this is the bit that gets me. What does the next verse say? And connects two phrases, doesn't it, Brother Maxwell? And connects two phrases. Lazarus is dead. And what? And I'm glad. Stop there, Jesus. We thought you loved us. We love you, you know. We got something happening here. You've delayed 2 days already. You confused us about him sleeping. Now you just come out plainly, or let's say a little bit more precisely, you've come out bluntly and said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes. You mean for our sakes? You're glad that he's dead? And he says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to heal him when you first got in trouble. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. He says that you may believe. But anyway, let's go to Lazarus. Let's go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with Jesus. What a sarcastic friend Thomas was. They're already talking about, why are you going to go back to Judea? You know, last time you were there, you got in trouble. They tried to bash you, stone you, and all that. And so Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. But anyway, let's go see Lazarus. And Thomas goes, okay, let's go get killed. Thomas was an interesting character, wasn't he? I don't know, sarcastic, cynical, I don't know. We know that he had problems with doubt. But anyway, maybe it was a different Thomas. But sometimes while you're waiting on God, while they're waiting, stuff dies. Everyone say, stuff dies. And while they're waiting for Jesus to come, something dies. And why did Jesus say? He says, for your sake. For your sake. You know, it says something about Jesus' nature right here. We can learn a lot. He is going to choose the best for us, regardless of the situation. Jesus is going to choose the best for us, regardless of the situation. He says, I know Lazarus is dead, but I'm glad for your sakes. Why? Jesus says, I can see the big picture here. I can see the whole picture. All you can see is your trial and your confusion and your struggle. I can see the big picture. Jesus says, you know what? I can see further down the road than you. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. You see, in life, it's an important thing to learn that some things are more important down the road than what I'm going through today. And be assured that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God can see beyond our situation. God's ways, Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. You know, you see, Jesus says, you know, I know he's dead, but I'm glad for your sakes because I can see a little bit further down the road. I can see how it's all going to pan out. I can see how I'm going to get the glory. I can see how you're going to need the faith in the future. I can see it. And so when you've done all you can, and it seems like God doesn't understand. They sent a messenger to Jesus. He said, okay, yeah, all right, that doesn't sound good. But don't worry, he's not going to die. It's not unto death. And then he stayed an extra 2 days. And then he says, well, he's sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, then we don't need to go risking our lives. And Jesus goes, no, no, not that sort of sleeping. He's dead. And so what do you do if you're in that situation today? And you've done all you can. And there's people here today that can say, you know what? I've done all I can. It seems like things are not good. I've got confusion. I'm in a crisis. I'm going through a trial. I've done all that I can. What do you do when it seems like even God doesn't understand? Let me tell you what you do. You release it and let it go. Put it into God's hands. Put the situation into God's hand. Because release, everyone say release. Release is an important part of faith. As long as you're holding on to the problem, listen to me today. God is speaking to somebody. As long as you are holding on to the problem and you've got it in your hands, God will not touch it. As long as you're holding it on to it, it's not faith. As long as the problem is in your hands and you're trying to do something with it, it's not faith. You've got to release it. And what did they do? They released their problem. Lazarus was dead. And how did they release it? They turned it over to Jesus and they said, all right, well, we've got to bury him because he's starting to smell. Let's just release it. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? That you may believe. Let's go. Jesus wanted them to learn something. And it's during times of crisis and trials that our faith grows. It's during difficult times, brothers and sisters, where we get closer to God. And Jesus wanted them to learn something because a little further down the road, a little further down the road, these disciples, these same disciples, are going to have their faith tested because they're about to see Jesus die a grim death on the cross. And Jesus knew. He knew. He's about to die this grim death on the cross, and they're about to go through an even greater trial. They're about to have their faith challenged. They're about to have their faith in God's plan challenged. Everything. What? Down the road, just a little bit further down the road, they're going to have this trial where they're going to see the Savior, the Messiah, on the cross. And Jesus says, you know what? They're going to have to be able to look back and find faith. They're going to have to be able to look back over their life and find faith somehow. And that's why Jesus said, I am glad for your sakes that you may believe, that you'll have faith for what lies ahead of you. I'm glad for your sakes that you may believe. You see, Jesus is thinking, when they see what I'm going to do with Lazarus, when Lazarus rises from the dead, they're going to say, if Jesus can do that for Lazarus, he can raise himself from the dead. Look at John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Everyone say 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So everybody's mourning and crying, and they're preparing for the funeral and all these things. In fact, they're probably having the funeral right here. They're mourning and they're comforting each other. Now Martha, as soon as she heard, she heard something. Somebody told her something. I want you to note that right there. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, so somebody had told her that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, and this is our text today, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. I want you to notice somebody told her that Jesus was coming. And Jesus said to her, he said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last days. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, or though he may die, yet shall he live. Everyone say, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And Jesus said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. Now, for most of us, we know the end of the story. We know how the story plays out. We sometimes forget that the people who we are reading about in the Bible didn't know the end of the story. They didn't know how it was going to play out. And sometimes because we know the end of the story, we forget that we are living with a luxury that they didn't have. They didn't know how it was about to pan out. They couldn't see what was going to happen 4 days later. All Martha knew at this time was, I asked Jesus to come and he didn't. Now my brother is dead. And what? She's there. She's there with her brother as he's passing. She's watching her brother with one eye and she's looking down the road with the other. You remember, I sent a message. Surely he loves us enough to come. She's watching her brother with one eye and with the other eye, she's looking down the road, but he didn't come. Lazarus died and Jesus wasn't there. The funeral has begun and she's still looking down the road. The long procession to the cemetery, what's happening? She's still looking. And when the stone fell into place on that tomb, it seemed like the end. The crowd disperses. Martha and Mary are disappointed. They're disillusioned. They don't know what to do. But what? She's still watching. But what? He still doesn't come. And maybe today, I'm talking about something that is very difficult. Maybe not the most exciting thing to talk about today. But maybe you've been there. Maybe you've experienced something like that. And if you haven't, let me tell you, I'm sorry to say, but one day you will experience something like that. When you pray and it doesn't seem like God hears you and God doesn't answer. When you stand and you say, I've got confidence in God's word. But you know what? It just doesn't seem like God answers us. It doesn't make sense to us as his people, as his church. He loves us. Why? We watch, we wait, we pray, we believe. And what? Where are you, God? I'm talking today about faith in the crisis. And so in all of this, I believe that Martha, who was caring for Jesus, still had faith. Everybody say she still had faith. Because when I read that account, somebody came and told her that Jesus was coming. Somebody came and told her. You see, you know why I know that she had faith? It looks like she had told somebody. She said, I'm going to look after Lazarus right here, but I want you to go out and keep your eyes looking down the road because I'm expecting Jesus to come at any moment. She had faith. While she was waiting, while she was in that crisis, she had faith because she had sent somebody out. She said, go out. I'm expecting him at any moment. Tell me when you see him coming because I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet him when he comes. Everybody say when. And so Jesus comes up the road. I told you we're going to do the whole chapter today. 12 disciples are following him. And verse 20 says, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know. So he's already passed. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Let me tell you, God's not afraid of you being upfront with him. There is no problem with coming to God with your questions. There is a problem when you start questioning God. But there is no problem coming to God with your questions. And she's upfront with Jesus. She said, if you were here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. Her emotions were messed up, but she didn't lose her faith. Even in the midst of her sorrow, she still believed in the power of Jesus. And I've been taught all these years the importance of putting Jesus into your heart. But I've come to encourage somebody today to put Jesus into your hurt. Whatever you're going through, somebody's been hurt today and you're waiting for God to answer your prayer. You've got a crisis. You don't know what's going on and you don't know the answers. I want to tell you, make sure you make Jesus not just the center of your life, but the center of your crisis today. Keep your faith in Jesus. And because these are some of the most honest words in the Bible, the biggest question, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. These are some of the most honest words. But even in those honest words where she's up front with Jesus, she said, if you were here, this would not have happened. But you know what? In that, there's a statement of faith. I believe in you, Jesus, so much so that if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. You see, even in the question, there was faith in the question. And then it was followed by an even greater statement of faith. Says, if you were here, this would have happened. That was faith. And then she says after that, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She says, even after this, even after everything seems finished, I still believe that you can do anything, Jesus. I still believe that you can raise the dead. I still believe that you can heal. I still believe that you can reconcile marriages. I still believe that you can deliver. Even after all of this, I still believe. Even now, everyone say now. Not in the future, not back then. Even now, I know. Can you say that in the middle of your crisis? Even now, I'm going to trust you, God. Even now, God, I'm not quitting. Even now, I'm going to pray again. Even now, I'm going to worship one more time. Even now, I'm going to declare that Jesus, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. My faith is in you in my crisis, Jesus, even now. Clap your hands to the Lord today. I'm getting ready to close, but we go to Habakkuk, and I spoke about Habakkuk at the beginning. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. And Habakkuk is having a crisis where what he's seeing with his eyes doesn't seem to line up with what he believes in his heart. It's unfair. God, what's happening? I can't understand what's happening. But look at Habakkuk's response. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. I've got a crisis. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stall. Can we read that verse 17 together? Can we read it together, everybody? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet, even now I know, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. In the middle of my crisis, my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in God. I'm going to trust Him. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. I'm going to trust God. Even now, I know that God is faithful, and I've come to preach to you today. I've come to bring a word of encouragement for every person that's going through a crisis, whether it is sickness, whether it's a crisis on your job, whether it's a crisis in your family, whether there's a crisis amongst your children, whether there's a crisis in your marriage, whatever you're facing today, I want to tell you, let your declaration be, even now I know that God is able. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Clap your hands to the Lord. I'm talking about experiencing Jesus. If you want to experience Jesus, you've got to have faith. You may look bad. You may look bad. You may feel bad. But God, I got one more move. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to pray again. I'm trusting God. Even now, I know. You see, some of us are facing some smelly stuff. Maybe in the past you faced smelly stuff. Maybe in the future you're going to face that smelly stuff. And you know what? By that time, Lazarus had been dead and the Bible says he stinketh. But you will never get restoration unless you're willing to confront the smelly stuff in your life. And when you confront it, make sure you've got faith in Jesus. They took Jesus to the spot. They said, Jesus, come. This is where he lay. They took him to the spot. The smelly place. Everyone say the smelly place. And they said, Jesus, where have you laid him? We're up to verse 34. Where have you, Jesus, and said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. I'm going to take you to the smelly place. And then my favorite memory verse in Sunday school, verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. You see, the stone was in place. They had given up, or I guess you could say, they had released it completely to God. God, we can't do anything with this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead. Martha, Lazarus' sister, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to him, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Remember to keep your faith in me in spite of the crisis. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What's the Bible say? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot. I love the picture. His hands are still bound. His feet are still bound. He's wrapped in those grave clothes and his face was bound with a napkin. He comes out. I don't know how he came out. Something like that maybe. What did Jesus say when Lazarus came forth? He said, loose him. Cut off those things that are binding his hands. Cut off those things that are binding his feet. Take off those grave clothes, because there's been a resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Loose him and let him go. Whatever your situation is today, if you're experiencing the crisis, keep your faith in Jesus. I know we want Jesus to be in our heart, but I wonder if somebody is going to allow Jesus to be in their hurt. Let's stand in this place today. Lazarus came walking out. There'll be times in life like Martha where you have to have even now faith, even now. The medical report doesn't look good, but even now, God, I believe that you can heal. When the business is struggling and the job is struggling, even now, God, I know that you're with me. I know that you can prosper me. I know that you can bless. When your marriage looks like it's all over, you've got to have that even now faith and say, God, I know that you can restore all things. My faith is in you. Even now, in spite of what it looks like, even now, I'm trusting you, God. And some of us, I know the old-fashioned term, some of us need to dig our heels in and say, even now. Even now, when your children have walked away from God, dig your heels in and say, no, God, even now, I know that you're able to do a work in my children. I'm going to release them to you, God. Do a work. Even now, I know you can turn their life around. Even now, for those that have been addicted for years, I want to tell you, have that even now faith, because there can be a resurrection. There can be a deliverance. Even now, I know. And somebody today, you're believing for a baby. I've been there with my wife. The report says, no, you're believing for a child. But have that faith and say, even now, God, even now, can't feel it. I don't know what's going to happen, but even now, I know that you can move, because we have an even now God, a very present help in time of trouble, one who we can call on. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills when cometh my help. You see, you've got to have that even now faith. Why? Because God meets us at the level of our expectations. Expectation is the birthplace of miracles. Some of us today, I've come to turn your eyes to Jesus again. Just take the limits off God. You've got to have that even now faith. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for them that love him. Just 2 days ago, I went to the funeral of my grandfather. He lived to be 96 years old. That is my dad's father. And he was very, very sick. He had tuberculosis, and they put him in a sanitarium. Back then, they used to put them in a special place, a sanitarium. They put them there. And he believed in God, but he didn't have a relationship with God. But he was in that sanitarium, and I don't know what it was really like back then. So maybe some of you can remember those days. But he was reading his Bible. And one day the doctor came into him. And I only heard this rest of the story at the funeral. He was reading his Bible each day as he was in there. I mean, they didn't have TV or anything like that. It would mean no Facebook, no iPhones, just reading the Bible. And the doctor came in and said, that's no good for you. In fact, he had just lost his sister to TB. That's no good for you. You're finished. That's what the doctor said to him. And he didn't really know what to say, but he said, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God in this time. Even now, I've got nothing else to trust. I'm going to trust God. About a month later, he walked out of that hospital to recover completely and live to the age of 96 years old. Somebody told me that the doctor that told him that only lived into his 60s. He lived into his 90s. I've got a God who is an even now God. He hears us when we cry out to him. And if you're in a crisis today, I'm just going to tell you, invite Jesus into your hurt. Don't give up. Yeah, release it, but say, Jesus, I'm focused. My attention is on you. I know you can help me. Give me strength again. Let's lift our hands all across this place. If it's a marriage, if it's a job situation, if it's your children, if it's your finances, we've got an even now God. God, I release what I'm going through to you right now. Jesus, I know you love me. Jesus, I know you care. Jesus, I know that not one sparrow falls to the ground without you knowing. Oh God, you even know the very hairs on our head. My trust is in you, God. My faith is in you. And Lord Jesus, I'm hurting right now. God, I'm hurting right now. But God, I want to invite you into the middle of my hurt. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your timing. I'm going to trust, oh God, your faithfulness. I know you love me, God. My faith is in you right now. Come on, church, let's lift our hands in surrender right now. Release it to God. Release it to God. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard what God has in store. I tell you today, all things work together for good to them that love God. I'm going to trust you in the middle of my crisis, God. And when you have faith, you will encounter Jesus. You will experience Jesus.